never been sick much in my life, but I contracted viral pneumonia. And on two occasions, as a result, had respiratory arrest and congestive heart failure, stopped breathing, heart stopped beating on two occasions. And the Lord miraculously brought me through. And for the first time, I realized I was mortal.
That was the Reverend Jerry Falwell speaking yesterday at the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention, the largest Protestant denomination in the United States, in Nashville, Tennessee. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday, the 21st. First day of summer, by the way, 21st of June. We're going to be hearing a little bit more from the Reverend Falwell a little bit later in this first half hour of the program. We're also here from Judge Roy Moore, who spoke also at the SBC convention there in Nashville, and find out what those two men had to say. It's open lines for the first half hour of Issues, Etc. today. As we hear this audio, I want you to kind of bear a few things in mind. We are listening to the convention that, now annually, the Southern Baptist Convention holds this meeting. They decide matters of polity. They decide matters of policy. They decide how they're going to stand on certain issues. And when the Southern Baptist Convention speaks, a lot of people listen. We're talking about a 16 million member denomination in the United States. We'll hear what Falwell and Judge Roy Moore had to say here in the first 25 minutes of Issues, Etc. Then, healing touch or therapeutic touch, is there a difference between these two? You know, I've heard people say Jesus healed people with a touch. Jesus anointed a man's eyes with mud that he made from spit and the dust of the ground, and all the people who are practicing therapeutic touch or healing touch today are doing is just what Jesus and his apostles did. Is that true? We'll find out in about 25 minutes here on Issues, Etc. Then a little bit more open lines and a little bit more audio. An exchange on the floor of the House between Representative Hostetler and Representative Obey over whether or not the Democrats are anti-Christian. Also, as time permits, some comments from Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, on the latter years, the waning years, and the last appearance, it's said to be the last appearance, of his father, evangelist Billy Graham. That's coming up in about an hour here on Issues, Etc. Now, starting at 4:30, halfway through, we've got an hour-long conversation that begins a five-part weekly series on the liturgy of prayer. Today we're going to learn the foundation for all Christian prayer, the Psalter, the Psalms, learning to pray the Psalms with Pastor Will Wheaton, a regular guest here on the program. Then in the last half hour of the program, you saw the Newsweek magazine cover story on dinosaurs. So many things being discovered and rediscovered about these giants of the past. Well, was it the distant past or was it the recent past? Dr. John Morris of the Institute for Creation Research will join us then in the last half hour of the program to talk about that story and about, well, where dinosaurs really fit in the timeline of history. Our call-in numbers here for the first 25 minutes and for all 3 hours, 505-7850. Or 1-800-730-2727. Well, we just heard from the Reverend Falwell. He was recounting his recent illness and his brush with mortality. We'll hear more from him in just a minute. Striking a more, somber note at the Southern Baptist Convention yesterday was former Alabama Supreme Court Justice Roy Moore. Of course, you know his story of Judge Roy Moore fame there in Nashville. He said that he was glad to recount his ouster for refusing to obey a federal judge's order to remove the Ten Commandments from his state's judicial building. Here he is.
Not because I have any anger or animosity. You see, the Bible says, except a seed fall to the ground and die, it shall not bear much fruit. I wouldn't be speaking for you today. This issue of judicial tyranny wouldn't be sweeping across our country.
So he feels like he's brought to the fore a significant issue that needs to be discussed. Now, he is speaking at the Southern Baptist Convention to, I would imagine, probably a very sympathetic audience. Judge Roy Moore told the Southern Baptists there in Nashville that they should obey God rather than man.
We cave when they say separation of church and state, and rule of law, and bow down. Shall we bow down?
Now, he's raising some issues, separation of church and state, the rule of law, which was a term of art that was invoked on both sides of the debate as to whether the Ten Commandments ought to be in our judicial houses. He says we're caving when we allow those concepts to be used against the posting of the Ten Commandments. What would you think about Judge Roy Moore being asked to speak, if you're not a Baptist, what would you think about Judge Roy Moore or Jerry Falwell being asked to speak at your church's national convention? If you are a Baptist, I want to hear from you. Both of these men spent a good amount of time talking about the political issues that impact Baptists. Judge Roy Moore is a little more pessimistic. The Reverend Falwell a little more optimistic. Your thoughts on this? 505-7815-1-800-730-2727. Here's the cut that really caught my ear from Judge Roy Moore. The former Alabama Supreme Court justice says that today's courts have decreed a public square that is cut off from God's living water.
Our schools are political institutions not holding water today because we've tried to construct them without God. We've been deceived by a government that tells us we can't worship God. Contradictory to history, contradictory to law, and contradictory to logic.
Do you agree with Judge Moore speaking there at Nashville among the Baptists, where he says we have a government now that is refusing to allow us to worship? Do you agree with him? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. If you do, I want to hear from you. I want to hear an example. I want to hear an example from your life or from someone you know of being forbidden by this government to worship. He says our schools and our public institutions are no longer holding the living water. I think it's a reference to God's word. So, and that same government is now refusing to permit us to worship. If you agree, how so? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Judge Moore speaking to the Baptists in Nashville as they assemble for their annual meeting, making all sorts of decisions. And of course, they have keynote speakers like this to kind of rally the troops and to draw attention. I'm sure that you probably heard or maybe read some of these comments elsewhere. Finally, Judge Roy Moore told the Southern Baptist yesterday in Nashville that the courts now define the Constitution in ways that were never intended by the framers.
If you're walking down by a creek and you pick up a stick and you're arrested for fishing without a license and you go before a judge that's going to put you in jail for a long time, and you say to the judge, but judge, I had no line on the stick, I had no hook, no weight, no bait, I wasn't even in the water. How would you feel if the judge says, but you could kill a fish with that stick?
Now, I'm not quite sure what he meant there. And maybe the cut was taken completely out of context. Well, the point he was trying to make was that the Constitution and judges are acting contrary to common sense. I think that was the point that he was trying to make. I'd like your reaction to this. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Have you had your right to worship infringed upon by our government today? That's what Judge Roy Moore says is happening in our schools and in our public institutions. I mean, I've got to wonder, why would he send his kids to school to worship? Why would he send his kids into the public institutions to worship? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Yes, the Ten Commandments have at various times in various places been removed from public areas. Yes, the moments of silence or the formal prayers have been removed from public schools. I think that's what the judge is talking about. But were those institutions ever intended for those purposes in the first place? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. It's open lines, issues, etc. Striking a more positive note, a more upbeat note, was the Reverend Jerry Falwell. He addressed the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention yesterday in Nashville, and he said that Christians helped President Bush win re-election.
November last year, it was that faith and values, that believing church inside this room and millions outside this room who were strong enough to offset all that Hollywood and the liberal media and Michael Moore and George Soros could do to prevent the re-election of George Bush.
Well, he certainly knew what names to mention, didn't he? He had them all in there, George Soros and Michael Moore and everyone else. Good applause line. I'm wondering, is this the Southern Baptist Convention or the Republican National Convention that we're listening to? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Is this appropriate for a church convention. I know they take public stands. They even take political stands in the Southern Baptist Convention. No, I don't have a problem with that. They decide to do this in their democratic fashion. But is it appropriate? Well, this sounds like after-the-fact politicking. At the very least, tossing out the names of these renowned and notorious liberal forces in American politics and the media. Sure, you can get applause. Of course, the Reverend Jerry Falwell has never been one to shy away from preaching to the choir. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's Open Lines, Issues, etc. And coming up here in about 10 minutes, we're going to be talking with Sharon Fish Mooney, a registered nurse of Regis University, where she teaches nursing, about healing touch and therapeutic touch. Now we're hearing some audio cuts from the Southern Baptist Convention meeting in Nashville yesterday. Judge Roy Moore and the Reverend Falwell. He also had one more name to toss out to the Baptists.
The church won the 2004 elections, and don't let anybody tell you differently. And we have a big day ahead of us. We've got to deal with Hillary in 08, so that's another subject.
That is the queen mother of all names to drop. I mean, you've got George Soros, who's a big money contributor to many liberal causes. You've got Michael Moore, who does his best to get his particular viewpoint, as odd as it is, out through his movies and documentaries. But if you really want to stir up the crowd, this is a church convention, but if you really want to stir up the crowd, Hillary will always do. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's go to the phones and talk with Dennis, who calls from his car. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Pastor Todd. How are you today, sir?
Doing very well.
Yeah, I would like to make a comment about Judge Moore's comments. I work in a public school, and, there doesn't seem to be any prohibitions or inhibitions, placed on Christians in particular. We have Bible study groups that are at our school, that we have churches at our school, not during the school day. We have them on campus, during non-school hours, and we have Bible studies for students. And I think what Judge Moore is employing is what's termed a fallacious argument, the either-or. It's either this way, meaning Judge Moore's way, or it's going to be this way. And people that don't agree with his perspective or his point of view, and I also think his view of history is a bit skewed when he talks about the founding fathers and the foundation of this country. There's not to be any endorsement of any religion per se, or any state religion. And that's basically all that the Constitution says.
Let me get this straight, Dennis. In your experience as a public school teacher, there are Bible studies held there on campus as part of student groups. There are prayer groups held on campus as part of student groups. None of that is forbidden there.
We even have a day of prayer, that National Day of Prayer. Students, they circle around the flagpole in front of the school, and they hold hands and pray. I mean, there's none of this what he's insinuating occurs within public schools.
Dennis, thank you for the call. Is it a bit of a straw man? Well, of course it is a bit of a straw man. What has been forbidden? The school-sponsored prayer. But all sorts of other prayers do take place to varying degrees in various public school venues. Dennis mentions just a few of them there. So I'm wondering, when Judge Roy Moore, and of course some of you will certainly agree with Judge Roy Moore when he says that this government is keeping us from worshiping. Now, I don't think he's talking about our churches, because I don't know if any of us have ever been stopped from worshiping in our churches. The only people who are trying to stop us from worshiping in our churches are other Christians. They're trying to rob Christians of right Christian worship. Those are the only people who are doing that. The government has not infringed upon our churches yet. Would they in the future, perhaps? I don't know. Maybe. But if you have an example, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Linda's up next. She calls from her car.
Yes, my comment was just the Baptist Church, in talking about religion being basically not followed by our government and all of the things that are happening for preventing us from worshiping. My comment was that the Baptist Church, in talking about these things at their convention, doesn't want to become what happened to the Lutheran Church in Germany. And so there's an activity there, and understanding of what our founding fathers wanted us to become.
What happened to the Lutheran Church in Germany, Linda?
I think the Lutheran Church in Germany was basically silent when the Jews rolled by in the railroad cars. They just sang a little louder. I mean, that's the kind of thing that you hear from.
Where did you learn this, Linda?
Well, that was from. Tell me her name. The German lady who was a missionary, became a missionary, but was Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom.
Mm-hmm.
And
now she wasn't silent, was she?
Well, no, she wasn't. But the majority is what I'm talking about, and that was I guess my comment. But I also wanted to comment about the healing touch. The healing touch is based in Buddhism. I went with Dolores Krieger, who was the founder of Healing Touch, in the 70s with her Buddhist friend, who she thought she could communicate with telepathically from New York to San Francisco.
Well, we're going to talk about Healing Touch in a minute, and thank you very much. I'm glad you tossed that in there, but Linda. Is Linda gone? Okay. You go back and read Corrie Ten Boom again, please, because I believe she blamed the Nazis for the trains full of Jews. Now, were there apathetic Christians in Germany and all of Europe when this happened? Sure. Among them, Roman Catholics, Lutherans, certainly. A fair amount of Protestants. There was, by the way, at that time, a full union between Lutherans and the Calvinist Church. So one can hardly blame one without the other. And you know what? There are a fair number of Anabaptists. That's what they call them over there. We call them Baptists. They call them Anabaptists in Germany, who also look the other way. But I would also remind you of some notable exceptions. Even if what Linda says is true, there was this little matter of the thing called the Confessing Movement, led by the likes of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. A man who, by the way, hung from a piano wire eventually for opposing what the Nazis did. He just happened to be a Lutheran. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Alan calls from his car. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Todd. When I hear this kind of stuff, it has the effect of turning me off. This kind of posturing and using the church and the pulpit as a way to kind of promote that. I think somebody like C.S. Lewis, who was really turned off by politics, his father was a Protestant, almost an orange man. His mother was sympathetic to Catholics, and he heard so much of it when he was growing up that he was almost apolitical through his life, and he proved it in 1951 when he was offered by Winston Churchill the honorary commander of the empire, and he turned it down because he didn't want the left to use it against him. And it just seems to me that any of our well-known religious leaders today, if they were offered something like that they would laugh it up instantly.
I think you're probably right there, Alan. Thank you very much. In fact, it seems that they're pursuing it. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, to a matter of fact, when Jerry Falwell says it was the church that got George W. Bush reelected, is that true? I'm certain that the church had something to do with it. Now, you got to remember that when Jerry Falwell uses the word church, he doesn't mean the people who voted against George W. Bush. He means the good people who did. Do you remember back day after the election, Sunday after the election, that's when it was, when Jerry Falwell, we played the audio for you, before he even started his sermon, he put up a map on the big jumbotron of the United States, county by county, red and blue, and he said, there it is, that's us, we did it, give yourself a hand. Best news he could preach that morning? The cross? Forgiveness of sins? No, the election of George W. Bush. You know, is it a good thing that Christians contributed as citizens to the election of a fairly decent president one more time? Yeah, I think so. But there's far better good that the church can do than just get presidents elected. Isn't there? Like preaching the message of forgiveness of sins to people who don't know Christ? Don calls from Creve Coeur. Don, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello, Todd.
Hi, Don.
My comment is that people are they're opposed to what they see as God, as a church that embraces the right to bear arms, or they're Hillary haters. And the stumbling block is political beliefs rather than the cross. They're, you know what I'm saying? Kind of.
I know exactly what you're saying, Don.
I'm not saying it very good.
Well, what you're saying is the church has a real scandal to carry around in the world, which is the scandal of the cross, the stumbling block of the cross. But the church, in so many cases, especially in its public pronouncements, exchanges the real scandal that it ought to carry in the world with a lesser one, one that raises the ire of the typical cadre of opponents for all the wrong reasons. We ought to be opposed for the sake of Christ's name, not for the sake of our positions on gun control or tax policy or who we vote for president.
I wish I could say it like that.
Don, thank you very much for the call. I think you said it just fine. Now, as a matter of fact, is Judge Roy Moore right when he says our government is stopping us from worshiping? If you have an example of this, we've got just a few minutes here. I'd love to hear from you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If this is mere rhetoric, if this is just a straw man, if this is hyperbole, does that belong in a church convention? Southern Baptist, the largest Protestant denomination in the United States? This exaggeration that somehow the government is stopping us from worshiping? Did the government stop the assembled people there in Nashville from, I'm sure they had some kind of a worship service to kick off the convention. Was Judge Roy Moore forbidden to do that? Well, in about 25 minutes, we'll hear some more audio. This, an exchange on the floor of the House of Representatives between a representative, Hostetler, and Representative Obie, over whether or not Democrats are anti-Christian. And then, as time permits, Franklin Graham has a few thoughts to share about his father and the waning years of his ministry. That's coming up in about 25 minutes. Now, speaking of Christians being involved in the world, the real kind of involvement in the world that Christians ought to undertake, service of the neighbor rather than pursuit of political prowess, power, and influence, LCMS World Relief, putting your generous dollars to work where they need to go, where people are in genuine need, be it flood victims, tsunami victims. Hurricane season is coming around again. For more information about LCMS World Relief, go to our website tonight when you get home, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, and right there on the homepage, you're going to find the logo for LCMS World Relief. We're proud to have them as an underwriter of Issues, etc. issuesetc.org. Or you can call them for more information as well, 314-996-1683. That number again, 314-996-1683. When we come back from this break, in the next 25 minutes, Sharon Fish Mooney joins us. She's going to tell us a little bit more about what Linda had to say. Are the roots of therapeutic touch and healing touch, as it is often called, found in Christianity, as so many of its proponents claim? We'll find out after this.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you find that you struggle for words when you pray? Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June is a helpful prayer resource. It's titled The Lutheran Book of Prayer. You can find out more about the Lutheran Book of Prayer on our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House. That phone number is 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. The Lutheran Book of Prayer costs $8.99 plus shipping and handling. You'll find prayers for family and neighbors, for the sick and the dying, the nation and the world, in the Lutheran Book of Prayer. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. Don't believe the myth that spontaneous prayer is more spirit-filled than written, word-centered prayer. The Lutheran Book of Prayer, our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June. 1-800-325-3040.
So you get that tugging inside of you about missions. This Global Minute lets you hear ways you can confirm God's call for you to be a missionary or help affirm someone else who wants to be one. The mission agency Mission Moving Mountains reminds us becoming a missionary is a process God confirms through others and prayer over a period of time. It's also essential to gain your conviction you should go into other cultures and share Christ based on your reading of His Word. Now, having a teachable heart is important, as well as being involved in some type of outreach or helps ministry where you are right now. Finally, don't minimize prayer. It's a powerful work God calls each believer to join in. Do you know someone else wondering if they should go cross-culturally and share Christ? Offer to pray with them. Discover mission opportunities around the world by visiting the website missionvisionnetwork.org. It's a resource for you and your church. missionvisionnetwork.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. They say you can tell you're getting older when you know the answers, but no one is asking you the questions. Along that line, you can tell you're in a bureaucracy when a co-worker dodges your questions for needed information and hoards responsibility. Not talking here about personal confidences, like a co-worker sharing personal problems that you won't divulge to an inquiring mind, but rather a situation like this. Your group is responsible for some project, but a co-worker is not sharing necessary information and is hoarding responsibility. Three negatives come from such conduct, according to Tim McGuire of United Feature Syndicate. It tells other workers they aren't trustworthy, it breeds distrust, and destroys a feeling of ownership on the project. Speaking spiritually, that hoarder is reflecting a desire, conscious or unconscious, to exalt himself, herself. A biblically based approach would recognize that the project is not about me, and I am accountable first and foremost to God. From that sense of accountability, with a special appreciation for being forgiven through Christ, comes this guideline for the office. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather with sober judgment. Romans 12:3. As we get older, we learn things like this. Is anybody in your shop asking about the spiritual implications of office conduct?
You know that for any career, you need education and training. The Educational Opportunity Centers can assist you in learning more about your interests and strengths, planning your career goals, and educational objectives. EOC has career assessment centers at the Forest Park and Belleville locations. Contact EOC today for more information on post-secondary education and how that education fits into your future.
Seems as though these alternatives to what's usually called traditional or Western medicine abound nowadays. You can talk to just about anyone, especially someone who's suffering in a way that is sometimes incurable or does not respond well to traditional treatment. They will start to think, well, you know, I heard about this thing called therapeutic touch. I heard about this thing called healing touch. I heard a nurse mention this to me. Maybe it was even the nurse in your parish, the old parish nurse, who mentioned this to you. What is healing touch, therapeutic touch? We're going to talk about it here in this 25 minutes of Issues, etc. Is it the same thing that Jesus did when he healed with a touch, or the apostles when they healed with a touch? Sharon Fish Mooney is our guest. She's a registered nurse. She teaches nursing research online for Regis University, and she's authored an article in the latest Christian Research Journal titled Healing Touch, Trouble with Angels. Sharon, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
Someone says, look, this is harmless, this healing touch. Whatever works, especially for people who are in pain or suffering, if it helps, how can it hurt? How do you respond?
Well, I hear that a lot, and I think that really represents what's pretty much today called a philosophy of efficacy. Whatever works, and for whatever reasons, let's give it a try. My concern is, and I expressed this in the article, is that there can be side effects that might be more problematic than any supposed cures. And in relation to things like therapeutic touch and healing touch and Reiki and some of the other non-contact supposedly energy modalities, the major concerns there would be spiritual in nature.
What is healing touch?
Well, healing touch is a more popular now form of non-contact touch that originally actually was derived from therapeutic touch, but then kind of went off on its own and developed into a modality that's very popular in nursing. It's based on the concept of energy fields, that our bodies are supposedly energy fields, and that energy can be assessed with the hands in a non-contact way, kind of hands hovering over the body, and then energy can be modulated and rebalanced. And then there are about 30 different techniques, actually, for rebalancing this energy, some of which involve channeling angels or spirit guides. That's a major emphasis in some of the healing touch workshops, the more advanced workshops in particular.
Now, we had a caller in the last segment who kind of got ahead of our subject, and she mentioned that there is a Eastern religious basis for some of what is believed and practiced by proponents of healing touch and therapeutic touch. You mentioned energy-based healing. Is this the same thing as the energy force, the ki or the chi, the chakras, the currents of energy that are supposedly flowing throughout someone's body according to Eastern religions?
Right, yes. It's called different things in different religious philosophic systems, prana or ki. Basically, that's supposedly the energy that's flowing through our bodies. Chakras are more the areas in different parts of the body that can modulate that energy. Now, that's not a part of Western medicine, but it is a part of Eastern thought, Buddhist and Hindu both.
So let me see if I can picture this. A nurse, and I want to get to the whole nursing angle of this in a second.
Mm-hmm.
A nurse comes in over a patient. She believes that she can detect a misflow, a blockage of energy flow in this patient, and with the use of her hands, not even touching the patient, she can redirect this flow of energy to bring about physical healing?
Well, it can bring about a rebalancing of energy. Some nurses talk about it in terms of healing. It's written about often in terms of healing, but certainly a rebalancing of energy. Things that it's been used for in nursing and medicine have been pain relief, relaxation in particular. Some of the research tends to be more dramatic in terms of the things that it believes it can actually heal. Burns, there have been some burn studies done using this as a modality as well.
Is this the same thing as what we read about in the New Testament, where Jesus or later his apostles, with a touch, with physical contact, are able to heal the sick or cast out demons or do any other type of correct any kind of infirmity?
I personally don't believe so, and those of us that have been writing about it from a biblical perspective have taken a very different view on that, saying that it is not. It's certainly the philosophical assumptions upon which it's based are very different from what we see in scriptures. There's in Buddhism in particular, there's no belief in a personal God at all, and the majority of the principles that it's based on are Buddhist. So it's basically an innate type of a power within to channel impersonal energies, as opposed to the power of God that we see in the New Testament and Old Testament as well. So it's really more of a technique as opposed to what we see in the New Testament and the Old Testament as far as healing is concerned.
So in other words, among the nurses and others with whom this is popular, this healing touch, they view it as a neutral, or they're urged to view it as a neutral technique for dealing with kind of a natural phenomenon, which is heretofore unrecognized by regular medicine.
Well, that's the primary teaching traditionally, although with healing touch, it's made significant inroads into churches and is really being revalued, and much of the teaching now surrounding that, basically they're saying, well, whatever worldview you happen to believe in, you can apply that or use that as the basis for the therapy. So, but the traditional teaching really comes out of out of Buddhism and Theosophy, which is kind of a mixture of many different belief systems, with Buddhism being one of the primary.
Go into more detail here, Sharon, if you would, about the real origins. If this is not what we read about in the New Testament, where do the concepts of therapeutic touch and then, more recently, healing touch really, truly come from? Detail that for us, if you would.
Mm-hmm. Well, my own—I just completed finally my dissertation and graduated, and did all of my dissertation work in that area, and did a historical study of therapeutic touch and healing touch, and really believe that the origins are rooted and grounded in Theosophy, which is a philosophical belief system that teaches that you can gain knowledge of a transcendent reality through the practice of occult traditions. In fact, mesmerism was quite popular originally in Theosophy back in the 1800s and was considered the work of Theosophy as a means of drawing people into the philosophical belief system. It claims that all religions stem from the same roots of ancient wisdom, and it was developed originally by Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, who believed that masters or mahatmas had certain knowledge and teaching, and they passed this on and were reincarnated, and we can access that information today. So I believe the roots are really philosophical, or theosophical, rather, in nature, not philosophical, theosophical.
Now, this the Theosophy that you're talking about, is this similar to the kind of things that are taught, say, in Christian Science and other offshoots of... They sound like the same kind of a thing.
Well, I think there's some similar concepts. They're all defined a bit differently, I think, in the different belief systems. With Christian Science, there's much more of an emphasis on God as a personal God, as opposed to just an impersonal energy force.
What about a connection with what you call in the article Spiritism or the occult?
Mm-hmm. Well, with Spiritism, that as far as I know from my research, and I'm not an expert in this by any means, but originally, some of that we see that in scriptures, of course, but more recently in the 1850s, there was a philosophy that came out of Europe where illness has spiritual causes, or can have spiritual causes, and can be treated with the use of spirit guides. So that is also a part of some of the teaching of healing touch and more recently of therapeutic touch. So it's getting in contact. A nurse can get in contact, or a spiritual healer can get in contact with these spirit guides or angels, as they're commonly called more in Christian healing touch and Christian therapeutic touch circles, to facilitate healing. Also, there's a belief in Spiritism. A man by the name of Kardec has written quite a lot of books on Spiritism and mediumship, that illness can be related to something that happened in your past life. So there's quite an emphasis of the belief in reincarnation, and that's very much a part of some of the original teaching of Theosophy as well.
Is that why there's stuff like trying to cleanse someone of past guilt or cleanse someone of karmic guilt in this practice?
I believe so, yeah. The concept of karma is very much a part of the teaching. So that would tie in with the belief in reincarnation.
Now, you mentioned the angels, and I want to delve more deeply into this Christian connection, or the way this has found its way into Christian churches. Among Christian practitioners of healing touch, what role do angels supposedly play in the whole process?
Well, there's a lot of teaching in the healing touch workshops, particularly the more advanced workshops, on getting in touch or using angels and contacting angels, channeling. I guess I would think of it as channeling angels for the process of healing, so that essentially the nurse can enter kind of a state of altered state of consciousness and become rather passive, and then that it's the angels that then work through her hands to channel the energy.
So this is really indistinguishable, except for the word angel, from what someone who had a Buddhist worldview would think if it were, say, an ancestor that was working through or a spiritist worldview, what a spirit guide would mm-hmm. be doing through them. It's just a different word.
It's a different word. A bit conceptually, there's some differences. Seems to be packaged differently depending on who's teaching it and who they are teaching it to. I have a brief excerpt in my article that I pulled from the web. Actually, much of my material is directly from the web, but it was a nurse that attended a Healing Touch workshop, and she talked about going back to her room at night, and they were sharing stories of Healing Touch, and that Janet, who was the founder of Healing Touch and who taught the seminar, had taught us how to introduce spirit guides into our work. And she says, as I slept, I felt enveloped by the love of my colleagues and my spirit guides. So that's really what has prompted me to do most of my research, is because of the dangers of that to anyone, but particularly Christians are told that this is an area that we're not supposed to be dabbling in.
How has Healing Touch, in its beliefs and practices, found its way into the Christian church?
Well, primarily, there's an organization called the Healing Touch Spiritual Ministry that has been growing in popularity and making inroads into churches, sometimes directly as a spiritual healing ministry, and saying basically that this is Christian healing revived or revisited. Sometimes it makes inroads through parish nursing, which is a movement that basically has very biblical grounded biblically, biblical foundations. It was originated through the holistic health movement through Lutheran pastor Granger Westberg. But some nurses that are involved in parish nursing may also be attending different workshops in nursing on Healing Touch and therapeutic touch and bringing that into their practice. That's not true of all parish nursing, but that is one avenue that it can move into very easily.
So it might be that a parish nurse, this is not a bad institution in and of itself, but
a parish
nurse attends a workshop for nursing workshop. She gets in touch with this, with the Healing Touch, no pun intended. She comes back and unwittingly, sometimes through an innocent lack of discernment, mm-hmm. introduces this at a health fair or individually to members of a Christian congregation.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it comes through the congregation itself. I had a phone call from a nurse in Canada. I've been teaching parish nursing at McMaster University up in Canada online and doing some teaching for them there. But one of the nurses that was a parish nurse called me and was concerned because the congregation or one of the committees in the congregation wanted to have a health fair and wanted her to introduce such things as Reiki and Healing Touch and therapeutic touch because it's become very popular in the media and on self-help. The bookstores carry many books on therapeutic and healing touch geared to the layperson, not just the nurse. So it's really gone beyond the bounds of nursing and often comes through the church doors, not through the nurse, but through a layperson.
Would you be surprised to walk into a Christian bookstore and perhaps find a book or two on this kind of healing touch inadvertently?
No.
In on the shelves?
No, I wouldn't. I'd be disappointed, but I would not be surprised. I've actually seen in some very good Christian books on healing chapters and paragraphs about healing touch and therapeutic touch as if it were another form of Christian healing. There's just a lack of discernment, I think, and a lack of understanding of the roots of it. I think if the people that had written the books had been more aware of where these roots actually were, but they tend to look at this, you know, they read the research or they see excerpts about it in the media and just latch onto it because it's often called Christian healing, when in fact the roots are very different.
We're talking about Healing Touch and therapeutic touch. Sharon Fish Mooney is our guest. If you have a question or a comment, if you've had an experience with this or run into someone who makes claims about Healing Touch, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. coming up here in about 10 minutes. Some more audio and open lines for your questions and your comments. We'll hear an exchange between two members of the House of Representatives on whether or not Democrats are anti-Christian. And Franklin Graham has some thoughts on the end of his father's long ministry, that being Billy Graham, of course, coming up in about 10 minutes here on Issues, Etc. So what is the appeal of Healing Touch in Christian churches, do you think?
I think that's a very good question. And one of the areas that I've focused on a lot and would like to do more research on even is that it's a very appealing ritual. And rituals are very important in Christianity. I think we've lost that in many churches, and people are reclaiming that desire and need for rituals, and that does seem to fulfill that particular need. They're very beautiful. They're very powerful tools, and they engender a very strong emotional response as well. And these are very experiential. People do have experiences as a result of doing the technique as well as receiving the technique, and that can be very powerful. So I think that's one of the primary drawing cards. And also, I think in many churches, they don't emphasize healing to the degree that it certainly seemed to be emphasized in the early days of the Christian church. And so if you have that lack and that absence, something's going to move in to fill the void. And the counterfeits are quite willing to do that if the real thing is not being practiced.
Sharon, as an RN and as someone who has extensively studied healing touch as a subject, not a practitioner, do you think, I guess this is kind of just a curious question on my part, do you think that these techniques are dabbling in something that is real but forbidden to Christians because of the biblical injunctions, or that it's all just in the imagination of the practitioner and the patient here? In other words, are there really energy forces running through someone's body that can be manipulated, but Scripture forbids us to do it, or are these energy forces just a fiction? Where do you come down on that question?
Well, I'm not sure if it's a, I think I probably come down as a either or both and. I believe that much of what we see, and particularly the research, can certainly be attributed to other types of things other than the actual practice of TT or HT, as they call it. It could be just simply the fact that a nurse is spending time with someone and that's going to help them relax. So I think there is a certain placebo effect that is very much a part of what's happening with the research. Also, in some instances, they're doing therapeutic touch and also playing music in the background and claim that the therapeutic touch is what's causing the relaxation, when in fact maybe it's the music. I do believe there are some forces there, but I would at this point certainly hesitate to call it legitimate energy forces that are coursing through our bodies. I would tend to, I'm leaning more toward seeing it as some type of a energy that is a spiritual energy that is something that is counterfeiting the reality of what's happening in our bodies.
You have also written about attempts on the part of the proponents of healing touch to scientifically legitimize what they do. They will appeal to stuff like quantum physics, which, of course, the average nurse, doctor, layperson, and even the average quantum physicist never claims to understand. What do you make of these claims?
Well, I think that has been one of the main things that has legitimized it in nursing and even to the lay public, because quantum physics books are quite popular now and they're being written for lay people. But what's happening, I think, is they're taking quantum physics terminology and revaluing it, or they're saying things like, well, what happens at the subatomic level of quantum reality? You can take that and extrapolate it to a macrocosmic level of distance healing, say a concept like non-locality. Now, the quantum physicists themselves are saying that's not true. In fact, there have been some conferences about some of these modalities that have been by quantum physics people themselves that are somewhat concerned about the way that the physics is being used or misused. But it is a very powerful claim. But the quantum physicists, too, that are quoted are those that are pretty much invested in Eastern spirituality themselves.
You say that practices like healing touch, and of course this could apply also to things like acupressure, acupuncture, all of which claim to have the same basis for doing the patient good, are self-validating. What do you mean by that?
Well, a self-validating experience is something that is subjectively validating as opposed to objectively validated experiences. So you're really validating it on the basis of what you feel rather than on a belief system, what you know, or what you've been told. So the whole focus is basically your own personal experience as opposed to any outside basis of authority. For Christians, the basis for authority for all things, I believe, should be the Bible. And so when God tells us to not do certain things or to avoid certain experiences, such as mediumship or channeling, we need to take heed to that and not do that, as opposed to going for the experience of it, just because it's an experience that feels good.
How do you respond to someone, a Christian, who says, look, I've kind of dabbled in this healing touch stuff, and I've had some benefits. I don't know if they're placebo or not, but I feel better, and I think I can use this without jeopardizing my Christian faith.
Well, I just raise the question and ask them if they really need to try to take them back to the scriptures and look at some of the scriptural examples of that. I've talked with nurses who have said that originally and then have had some rather strange experiences or scary experiences after they've spent quite a bit of time dabbling in these things that they felt were demonic, and they've stopped doing it as a result. So I believe my main role is to raise the questions and raise some of the biblical issues with people. And I really believe people do it at their own peril.
Sure.
Even though they may have some initial positive experiences, that spiritually they're really dabbling with something that God is saying no to.
Sharon Fish Mooney is a registered nurse. She teaches nursing online for McMaster and Regis Universities. She is author of an article in the latest Christian Research Journal titled Healing Touch, Trouble with Angels. Sharon, thanks for being our guest again.
Thank you.
When we come back from this break, we've got a half hour of open lines going into the second hour of the program. During that 25 minutes, I'm going to share some audio with you from an exchange between Representative Hofstetler and Representative Obey on the floor of the House. What were they talking about? Well, they were talking about whether or not the Democrats are anti-Christian. Some pretty harsh words exchanged there. I'll share them with you when we come back through our audio cuts. And then Franklin Graham is reflecting upon a long ministry of his father, Billy Graham, and upon what is said to be his last public sermon coming up in New York at his last crusade. We'll hear from him as well after this break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.